rediscover the facets of yourself that have been kept hidden away for far too long. For just $1, you can take a journey and make it your ultimate transformation. Center of the Sun Plus offers more tools, support, and community to help you explore your inner realms. Click the link in the description to join today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Thank you for listening to Center of the Sun, your favorite culture, society, and science podcast. Thank you for listening. This podcast is for Black men who have sex with other men. Today, I want to ask you, when was the last time you masturbated? Yeah, I mean like jacked off or beat your meat. I've been seeing a lot of shit on Twitter for some reason. I don't know. Maybe people, it's that time of month for a lot of people. A lot of people are talking about masturbation on Twitter these days, with memes and all kind of things. And I actually have some research I wanted to share with you later in this episode. But for now, I'm angry today. As you can, excuse me, this episode's brought to you by Miller High Life. Yeah, just kidding. But drinking a Miller High Life, it's making me burp, sorry. But my grandparents told me, well, my grandparents and my mama, actually, really. They told me that a measure of a man, you measure a man by his success. You know, meritocracy, all that great stuff. And that success is directly linked to a man's work, right? So a man that doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So that's what we're told every fucking day of our lives, specifically, I guess, Black men, well, all men, really. But for the last 5 years, I've been waking up at all hours, only God knows what hours there were. But I've been waking up all these hours, getting ready to go to work. Every day. I just put in for 2 weeks of vacation over the next, or 3 weeks of vacation over the next few months. November, New Year's, my birthday. So I have all this vacation saved up, so I'm just planning it now, so I'm like, since no one else has planned their shit, I'm gonna plan mine, I'm using my vacation up. And I still have like 20 hours left, like, and then sick time too, so I've been working nonstop, getting ready, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, going, you know, getting up, going to work. Excuse me, I'm burping because I drank my beer too fast, because I wanted to turn up for the podcast, but anyway. And luckily, I go to a job every day that I love. So thankfully, being Black and gay is popping at the moment. And it's paying these days, sweet honey. I get to go to work and I get to help the most vulnerable people in our society. And it warms my heart to see smiles of men who have been broken by this world and beaten down by this cruel fucking world. Oh my God. And it's exhausting, to say the least. Every day I come home and I nearly pass the fuck out. Well, after I think about giving you all part of my day as well, you know, too. Because I have to think about the show. The Center of the Sun team is busy working on content to bring you all, but and it takes a lot of effort, and I work like 50 or 60 hours a week, potentially. It's always possible. So I fit you all in. That's why you're a Sunday show, because I can fit you in and give you all the love that you need, because I have 2 days to buffer you. So to buffer the show. So why in the infinite wisdom of the universe am I part of the gentrification of my neighborhood? And by a part, I mean, I thought I made all the right choices when moving to this part of town. So my landlord, grew up in this neighborhood. They worked, raised children, supported this fucking community for the duration of their lives and in perpetuity. They also reclaimed several buildings, fixed them up on their own because it's just what they fucking like to do. Whether or not the market was good or bad, anything, they took all these abandoned houses, fixed them up in their neighborhood, made them affordable, market rate apartments to rent. And they made them affordable and accessible to anybody, not just someone like me, who's the recent transplant. So, unlike the motherfuckers across the street, my landlord told me all the business about them because they're not from here. They're selling your house for a crazy amount of money. There are some row houses that they just built for $300,000, and then the houses they're building across from my house right now are $500,000. So they kicked the woman out who lives to the left of me. She was on Section 8. They kicked her out. She told me that months ago that was coming. And then luckily, a nonprofit owns the garden that separated me and my neighbor to the left. So luckily I have a buffer between the bullshit. So why do I have to be a part of this plan to revitalize this little dumbass street that literally is just full of prostitutes and alcoholics anyway? I don't really know why anybody wants to really come over here anyway. Just I like it because it's quiet. And I know the alcoholics and the prostitutes, so, and they're cool people. I just don't really like hang out with them. But anyway, so why on the days that I'm off do you decide to construct housing when I'm home? Like, I work so long every week, and you have plenty of time to fucking do what you gotta do in terms of demolition, yet you want to tear down a tree and demolish a house on the Lord's day. How dare you? Well, I'm just mad that you woke me up with the butt crack of dawn. I'm full and I'm tired. But anyway, Trump is, let's go to society. Trump is going to meet with Putin. Let's go to the New York Times. Trump is meeting with Putin tomorrow. Did y'all hear that? He's meeting with him on Monday, July 16th. And I don't know if you are aware, but for the last, 50, 60 years, the United States and Russia have been mortal enemies. NATO. Do you know what NATO is? Let's look up NATO. NATO. N-A-T-O. NATO. So why did Trump go to fucking motherfucking? I'm at NATO.int. NATO.int. It's the website of the NATO. So let's just go to what is NATO, because it's very important to know these things. And NATO stands for the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and they're 29 member countries, and they basically make sure that if anybody fucks with one of these 29 people, they fuck with all of us, and then therefore World War III is coming. And that's why people are always like, World War III, because of NATO and because of this alliance that these people have. And why is Trump going over the seas? I'm just like, oh God, why is he doing this? Why is he going overseas talking about NATO is bad and that NATO is taking advantage of us and that we need to get out of NATO? Bitch, our military is not big enough. We got 300 million people in this motherfucking country. So, the only person in the world, or the only country big enough to care, honestly, about NATO, and who is also not a part of NATO, is Russia. So, guess who's meeting with Russia tomorrow willingly? Trump. Not good. This is not good. This is why we're talking about masturbation today, because it is kind of important for one's health, honestly. And in our society, we have a lot of forces that are working against us. And I don't know if you're tired, but I'm tired as fuck. So there's all kind of things going on in this society right now. Email me, host@centrison21.com. What is the biggest thing bothering you in the news right now? Please point me in that direction so I can look at something else, because Trump is really wearing me out. Is there something a little bit closer to home that you need to bring to attention to the world? I didn't know that Ohio lost a gerrymandering case. Did you see that in society? So Obama and Eric Holder, his former attorney general, maybe? Eric Holder? Well, the two light-skinned men that ran our country for like 8 years. It was actually really funny to think about, like, two light-skinned men were running our country. It's so weird. But anyway, it's so weird. Like, now that Trump is in office, it's just weird. Like, that ever happened. Like, was it real? Were we alive then? Because the world is so different now. It's so weird. And they're just, like, non-existent. Like, living their best life. No, actually, they're out here fighting in the back end. Because, so, they have a committee or whatever, like, a super PAC to affect the gerrymandering laws in the states. And I am particularly for this cause, because this will, and I tweeted this the other day, I think, like, this will prevent the destruction of America. Because it will, and it'll make our elections fair, which is the reason why we have the fucking president we have now. Because the delegates and all that shit, all those lines, I'm for it. I like the Constitution. When it's fair, I mean, in theory, it works. That's why we all ascribe to it. So, over the last, 10 years or so, the Republicans have just been belligerent and changing the fucking maps and making them, like, using, and I didn't know this until the other day, and this is why I need you to email me, host@centrison21.com, because there's stuff that I don't even know, because I'm so enthralled with Rachel Maddow that I never look outside of MSNBC, but I didn't realize that they were using computers and algorithms to find the most efficient way to suppress votes with computers and robots. Like fucking robots. Like basically that's what they're using, is an algorithm. So anyway, Obama and Eric Holder have been fighting this unconstitutional ass way of suppressing votes in every state, and they're winning. And they just won a case in Ohio in the Supreme Court. So yay Obama. See, he's making sure that Trump, well, you never know, because these people are evil. So I'm not even going to speak it into existence. Thank you for listening to Center of the Sun. We are going to continue on with some science next. Gone for a minute. Gonna check the digits. Up in my business. I'm just kidding. You like that. I'm a rapper though. That was actually kind of good, actually. I'm not even gonna lie. Welcome back. Oh, wow. Center of the Sun podcast. Thank you for listening. Your favorite culture, society, and science podcast. For black men who have sex with other men. That's why we're here, you know? Trying to serve the community, trying to do the best good possible. And today we're talking about cancer. Well, not really. but for some reason, masturbation has been on my mind. Well, because I'm a man. But it's been on my mind because it's been on fucking Twitter all the time. So everyone's always masturbating because it's just all these gay men. And men are like the horniest fucking creatures on this planet. Like all male organisms like have an insatiable sex drive, and I don't understand why. Because I don't. I actually, mine can be satisfied quite easily, and not very frequently. But today someone was like, oh my god, it's 11 a.m. and I've already masturbated four times or something like that. And I'm like, well, it's actually not bad that you did that. It's actually good. And there are reasons why. And there's research why. And there's data and everything why. So in 2016, I believe there was a study that was published in European Urology. So because of Trump's ass... And because of my job, too, I work in clinical research. So I find it actually important that black men, especially black men who have sex with other men, have access to the information that everyone else does, because there's a huge information gap. And there are huge and critical misconceptions that persist and discourage people from obtaining life-saving biomedical intervention through research. So, I wanted to send you on a little bit of a thought journey with me regarding cancer. So, let's just start off with what prompted the whole conversation. So, there are all these people on Twitter talking about, oh, like, I'm so horny, like, oh my god, like, my hormones and this and that. But I'm like, is it your hormones, though? Or is it just, like, your body working in perfect, you know, it's not anything going on the fritz. It's just, like, how your body takes care of itself. And I think men have their own version of a period. And every month we have a period of time. It may be not an issue of blood, but, you know, as the Baptists would say. But, you know, we have to shed our cells as well. So cancer is defined. So in order to get a better understanding of what I'm talking about, let me start from the foundation. So let's talk about what is cancer and why am I even talking about this? Because I'm talking about jacking off. Right? No. Well, yeah, but no. So cancer is also called a malignancy by WebMD. And sorry if I'm slurring. I had two highlights. I'm such a lightweight. But anyway, it's called a malignancy or abnormal growth of cells. And there are like 100 or plus types of cancer. Breast cancer, lung cancer, skin cancer, eye cancer, bone cancer, foot cancer, all the cancers. Lymphoma, all kinds of things. Also, prostate cancer. And if you know anything about prostate cancer, only that cancer only affects men because only men have prostates. What is the prostate? I'm glad you asked, because I sure as hell don't know, so I'm going to Google it. Prostate. I know it's a gland that only men have. So WebMD is a trusted source because actual people with medical doctorate degrees peer review these things. So Matt Hoffman wrote this piece on WebMD regarding the prostate, and it is a, let's see, the prostate is a walnut-sized gland located between the bladder and the penis, and this is quoted right off of WebMD.com. The prostate is just in front of the rectum. The urethra runs through the center of the prostate from the bladder to the penis, letting urine flow out of the body. The prostate secretes fluid that nourishes and protects sperm. So that is the important thing about all of this, about the prostate. During ejaculation, the prostate squeezes this fluid into the urethra and it's expelled with sperm as semen. So men have a protective gland that is in the middle of their bladder and their penis. And it secretes fluids, and I'm going to tell you what those fluids are in just a moment, into the semen. and make sure it can infect or infect. Oh my God. Well, you never know. Also, make sure it can fertilize the egg. And unfortunately for black gay men who have sex with other men only, like myself, it becomes a little weird when you start talking about biological directives. But anyway, because everyone's body is different, we do not put anyone in a box because no one's body works exactly like a diagram on WebMD. I wish it did, but it doesn't. So the prostate is extremely important, and prostate cancer is actually very common in all people. There is no particular person that is safe from prostate cancer. So when I see people on Twitter talking about how much they have to masturbate just to stop obsessing about sex, I'm like, good, because you need to. Your body protects itself, but it also protects itself through the expulsion of waste. And sometimes semen is waste. So let's go to my OneNote notebook, actually. So I wanted to kind of give you an idea of how I would approach thinking about this, because I don't just accept people's shit, you know. No one can really tell me of anything because I have to investigate it to the best of my ability, and then I will accept it. And so recently, so I've been saying good to all these people, and I've been trying to like comment and stuff, but it's weird to talk about masturbation on Twitter. So I wanted to come on and explain why I'm like, yeah, like, get your life. Because I recently saw, probably in the last 1 or 2 years, an article on like BuzzFeed or something, or it was like a commercial or something, and it was like new information about prostate cancer. A man needs to ejaculate approximately 27 times a month in order to properly take care of one's prostate. And that always struck me as odd, because I'm like, so literally we have to come every day. And that's just like a minimum to like prevent prostate cancer. Like, that's not even like for anything else, for any other reason. And I was just like, wow, I don't know if people, I guess people come every day. I guess I can try to come every day, because I'm not that sexual. Like, I can if I want to, but it's not, it builds up and then it like is a thing. But it's not like I feel compelled every day to ejaculate when you're supposed to. And so I didn't really investigate that further, but I did initiate a few changes, behavioral changes in my life personally. But I never really investigated it further because it didn't really make sense, and I didn't really care because it was such a weird and odd thing that I would see in like mainstream news. So it wasn't until today, actually. And thank God I record these on the day that, on the actual Sunday that they are supposed to be released. But I saw today someone was like, oh my God, it's only 11 a.m. And I've already masturbated 4 times. My hormones are on the fritz. And I'm like, wait, no, they're not though. Because that's exactly how your body's supposed to work. So I was like, let me recall that article way back like a year or two ago that I saw. So I did some investigation, went onto Google, and found myself in a thought cloud. And I actually found the original abstract. I wonder if it'll let me see the full text. Oh my gosh. Yeah, you can see the full text, everything. So anyway, the article is called Ejaculation Frequency and Risk of Prostate Cancer. Updated results with an additional decade of follow-up. So basically, doctors named Jennifer Ryder, Catherine Wilson, Jennifer Sinnott, Rachel Kelly, and others at Al, other people associated with it, they followed people for about a period of 10 years, and they literally asked them about their frequency of masturbation over the period of 10 times. And they did all these surveys and stuff, and they, in tandem with that, at the same exact time, what they also did was test them for risk of prostate cancer. And the people, and what they found was actually very interesting, was what they found was that the people that reported more ejaculations per month had a lower incidence for prostate cancer. And it was like, wait, what? Like, how does that work? Like, what in the world? And it's so stupid, because it's like, it's because the way that we trivialize it as a society, maybe that should have been the society's segment, is like the shame of masturbation when it actually has a biological imperative. It's a biological imperative. And also, you know, other factors influence your likelihood of acquiring prostate cancer as a man. But what was interesting was that the study was so big, and it was like thousands of people were shown this. I think it was like 31,000 men answered questions on ejaculation frequency on a 1992 questionnaire and followed through to a 2010 questionnaire. That 30,000 people. Now that's how you know it's a good study. We call that the sample size. That's the N. That's the N equals 31,925,000 men. Wow. I'd like to see that data. And there were other controls for the study too, like body mass index and consumption of calories and that kind of thing. But overall, it was, they could correlate incidences of prostate cancer with motherfucker ham. I love that meme. Motherfucker ham with masturbation. So when I see somebody bragging about how they can't control themselves in terms of masturbation, it's because their body is like, help me. I am trying to protect you, and you need to get busy, bitch. That's what your body is saying. So I didn't stop there, because I'm like, okay, thank you for sharing, but like, I need some like actual science behind it, because this is the science section, and I just can't be giving them like an abstract. Like, we need the hard evidence. We need the exact mechanism of action, the catalyst, bitch. So related to this, it was just at the bottom. It was linked in the article. So I'm at europeanurology.com, and this is a peer-reviewed source. So that's one of the things that you want to look for when you're looking up information, especially about science, because people are tricky. And what I didn't do was actually call the people. So before I shared this, what I wanted to do is actually call, I forget where this was conducted, in Boston somewhere. Let me see. Jennifer Ryder, Department of Epidemiology at Howard Chan School of Public, Boston, Massachusetts. Department of Epidemiology, Boston University of School of Public Health. So what I should have done was actually called these places and made sure this bitch was real. Sorry, girl. But that same study, or the same woman that conducted this study, what I found out was that they were looking at the, what were the fluids that were secreted by the prostate cancer that were protecting the sperm, but yet also causing cancer. And it was citrate. And I know citrate is probably why cum tastes bad. And it probably is... Oh, excuse me. Oh, shit. TMI. My bad. Well, it is what it is. But those protective fluids, those fluids that protect the sperm, also when they build up and they'll have any way else out of your body, because it's actually, it's probably producing at the right amount, and you're not having enough sex because you're supposed to be procreating. Like, think about like every other animal, like they're procreating. So if you're gay and we've evolved past that biological imperative or that biological directive to only procreate, we can be other kinds of beings. Yet we still have our bodies, like our brains evolved faster than our bodies did, or vice versa. I don't know. But at the same time, it's not black and white, I can tell you that much. So, anyway, because I'm making the case for heteronormativity, and I'm like, I don't want to. But because it's not, because there are enough straight people, we're fine. We barely can sustain the planet as we can. I mean, the planet can sustain itself. We can't get our shit together enough to sustain the planet with the amount of people that we have. So why do I need to procreate? 8 billion ass people up in this bitch. What the fuck? So you need to ejaculate. So basically, you need to ejaculate once a day to just make it easy. Yeah, for health. Salute. No, for real, it is for health. So I'm going to put the link to all this stuff in the description of this podcast. Thank you for listening to the science section. Please email me your thoughts, host@centersun21.com. What are your thoughts about this? Is it weird to talk about this kind of stuff? Have you heard about this? Do you have a better study? Do you have a debate? Would you like to debate my data that I'm presenting? Because it's pretty legit. I did look, you know, I looked through it. It's pretty cool stuff. And I work in research, so it's given me all the things that I need. The confidence index is real nice. Sits at a smooth 81.8100. So it sits at a smooth 81 hundredths. The confidence interval is between 7200 and 9200. So it's sitting right in the middle. That's what I like to see. That was for a particular group. But still, check it out. Tell me what you think. host@centersun21.com. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back with culture. Culture section this week, we are going to talk about reading. So last week on the Center of the Sun podcast, I talked about minimalism and the importance of minimalism to black men. And minimalism, to touch base, is just the art of, it is an art form. So you go into a museum and you see minimalist art, cubes on, you know, like weird things. It's just weird stuff, you know, whatever. I like it, whatever. But you see, in museums, you can see minimalist art. You can see all kinds of different forms of art. And then there are minimalist lifestyles that people live where they try to shed away all of the things that are unimportant. And I kind of superimpose the idea of minimalism onto David Eagleman, a neuroscientist that I've been kind of obsessed with lately. His ideas around possibilianism and ensuring that before we make a decision about what is true and what is not true, we import the tools of science, but do it in a way that gives everything a possibility to be measured in some way, or to give evidence to one's point. So he was talking specifically about like neuroscience and the vastness of the ignorance of the things that we don't know, and you can find that on my blog, centersun21.com, if you need help, if you want the specific articles, you can always email me, host@centersun21.com. And I will personally send you the articles and the YouTube videos that I watch myself. Which you'll see that in the post as well. And so David Eagleman, last week I was talking about how he was talking about the prisons and how we, conversely apply the legal system to like areas of behavior and neuroscience that shouldn't be applied to, because everyone's body is different, and like one's motivation to change is not dependent on like how long you keep them in a cage. And the prison industrial complex, which is especially an insidious structural issue in our society that basically targets Black men when they're a baby, creates a school to prison pipeline for them, doesn't teach them anything, ensures that they live in poverty, ensures that they lack education, and then puts them in jail, uses them as free labor, and then to support a $1 billion private prison industry. And when you think about the science of human behavior and how counterintuitive prisons are and how counterproductive they are, it starts to become clear that they're not for rehabilitative purposes. They are to enslave Black men. And I am here today to close that information gap. And that's why in our cultural section, we're going to do a part two of minimalism, just to touch base on what I think it is. Please send me your definition at host@centersun21.com. I want to hear your thoughts. Send me your questions. But GQ is a nice source. It's a good enough source to talk about minimalism. And when I think of minimalism, I think of like IKEA, you know, of style, of art form. But it's a way of removing, and this is quoting it from GQ magazine in the UK, it's a form of living or lifestyle, a way of removing everything physically and mentally that can be deemed unfulfilling and not practical. All of this is done with the aim of enjoying a fuller life. So how about we start shedding away the bullshit? It doesn't mean that you have to live in poverty. It doesn't mean that you need to sacrifice anything. It just means that you need to be more conscious and more cognizant of what you retain. And I'm not talking about physically, because I actually could not care less about what you have materially, because that's just our culture. That's just our society telling you to spend more. But our society also tells you to stop thinking, or it fills your mind with distractions. So what if we stopped distracting ourselves and started chipping away at the distractions and ignoring them or removing them completely from our lives with the aim of enjoying a fuller life? I think it's possible. One way that I do it is by minimizing the decisions that I make in the morning. Because what I've learned is that I'm a morning person. Right now, I'm recording this podcast a little bit too late because of the damn tree cutting in the fucking morning that we've been doing all fucking weekend. Fuck, bro. It's good, though. But anyway, I've minimized the amount of chemicals I put in my body. I minimize the amount of chemicals I put inside my body so I don't have to make the decisions that are normally made by the general masses. What do I eat tonight? Well, I already know that because I already made the decision. I planned for it prior. You know, like there are little ways to minimalize your life, apply minimalism to your life that don't require you to sacrifice. But I'm a minimalist by proxy, I would say. I learned it from people in my family. I learned it from friends. I learned it online. I've created my own brand of it. But I think if you decrease the amount of mental clutter, whatever that is, I want you to answer this question. What is cluttering your mind right now? Email email me at CenterSun. Email me at host@centersun21.com. I want to hear your thoughts. I may read them aloud on the show. But I, in order to decrease the amount of thoughts that distract me, what I like doing is reading a good story. So sometimes all of the fucking channels on cable do not satisfy me. It's so boring. And I mean, if you're a smart black man, clap your hands, because it's hard out here. Sometimes I need to be satisfied. My imagination is so vivid, it needs to be satisfied constantly. So, and masturbation is not going to help, is not going to work 100% of the time. So you have to fill up other things. And what is your favorite book genre? What is your favorite movie genre? Email me, host@centersun21.com. I will look it up, read a book, and talk about it on the show. Because respond to what y'all like, you know. But currently I'm reading this book called Bandwidth on Amazon Kindle Unlimited. I'm reading this book called Bandwidth, and it is about it starts off with like a terrorist attack. It's actually really good. It's very well written. Like, the imagery is quite expressive. It's kind of weird how close and distant in the future it is. But just imagine a future where money doesn't exist. And I think I'm getting to the point where I'm realizing that the computers that the people are using are in their heads. And the speed with which you connect to the internet is the currency of the future. The bandwidth. And institutions control that. Like, imagine Verizon being the government. And imagine that world. Imagine that future. And so I'm about chapter 11, so I'm not really that far in, because I'm like, I don't know anything about this book yet. I'm just like, literally, like, everything is still surprised. Like, wait, where are they? Like, wait, the computers are on their heads? Like, I'm so confused, but I love a sci-fi novel. This is a great sci-fi novel, Bandwidth by Elliot Pepper, but Pepper with one P, P-E-P-E-R, on Kindle Unlimited. You can go to my blog and get 3 months for free if you want. Also, to learn about the prison industrial complex, I suggest you read The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, also on Amazon, but not on Unlimited, though, so that one you have to buy. That one's good too, and that one gives you more context about what the fuck is the prison school to prison pipeline. And if you want to know more, Jaden Smith has a really good, well, it's not really good, but it's layman's terms of the prison industrial complex, and he actually makes a great point. And I'm also obsessed with 2 Chainz at the moment, Proud by 2 Chainz. Mama ain't raised no hope. Are there any headlines that you're looking at? Please send me your headlines. host@centersun21.com. Your favorite culture, society, and science podcast. Thank you for listening. Tweet me at centersun.com. Find me on Facebook at centersun21. On Twitter at centersun21. All the places at centersun21. And also centersun21.com. I hope you have a good week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you make the brave decision to venture within, you will unlock your true potential so you can push forward with confidence, conviction, and a purpose. For only $1, you can become a Center of the Sun Plus Gold member and get closer to that purpose. No matter how difficult the process may be, remember it's your resilience and commitment that will ultimately lead you to where you want to go.